Place a group of nostalgic Italians anywhere in the world, and a little Italy is sure to spring up around them. It is perhaps in the U.S., however, where Italian immigrants have made their most indelible mark. Many American cities have neighborhoods with a strong Italian heritage, the most sizable of which can be found in Boston, Chicago, Cleveland, Philadelphia, San Diego, and of course, New York. New York City boasts the most famous Little Italy in the country, although more than one such neighborhood exists in the city. The best known is that centered on Mulberry Street in Lower Manhattan, so close to Chinatown that it is almost in symbiosis with it. In fact, right from the very first arrivals in the 19th century, Italian immigrants were taking up residence all over town. While the largest community used to be in East Harlem, it dispersed in the 1930s as Puerto Rican immigrants moved in. Today, Manhattan's Little Italy is a tourist attraction, a folkloric example of how Italians were perceived when they first arrived in America. While nothing here seems quite authentic, you can still find quality Italian foods here, such as prosciutto meats, Italian bread, or tarali crackers. These neighborhoods testify to the resilience of those who made them, men and women who recreated a home away from home for themselves and their families. Many Italians arrived with little education, without a word of English, or with thick accents. Forced to live in tiny apartments in cramped tenement buildings and working long hours, they still found time to turn their neighborhood into a community, a distinctive and diverse homage to the Italian culture and spirit. To find out more about New York's Italian Americans, Speak Up met with Stefano Morello, teaching fellow at Queens College, City University of New York. Morello's great-grandmother, Salvatrice Nigido, was a Sicilian seamstress who left her five-year-old daughter, Morello's grandmother, in Militello, in Val di Catania, to join her brother in New York in 1913. As Morello explains, Italian immigrants like his great-grandmother, who died just years after reaching America, arrived there with hopes of a better life.
There had been a big Italian diaspora happening towards South America. The urban areas of the United States were exploding in terms of productivity. Industries were developing in the cities, and there were just a lot of job opportunities, many of which were not ideal in terms of workers' rights. But compared to the opportunities that Italian immigrants didn't have in their home countries, that was a big improvement. Just to give you a sense of how many Italians came to the United States, in that era, we're talking about 2 million just between 1900 and 1910.
For early Italian immigrants, life was hard. They resided in crowded buildings with insufficient ventilation and little natural light. But as the decades passed, their lives improved.
Starting in the 1930s, as Italian Americans are moving up the social ladder, they start to pursuing their dream of home owning, which was what many of these immigrants were used to in their native land, even though many of them, including my family, were rural workers or peasants or seamstresses. So as they made their way up the social ladder in New York, they were able to pursue their dream of owning a home.
Subsequent generations of Italian Americans were increasingly adventurous, taking up residence in other parts of the city and country and assimilating into the wider American culture, as Morello explains.
We see the biggest dispersion of Italian Americans in the 1950s. And that's not just typical Italian Americans, it's typical of many ethnic communities. There was a lot of political pressure, starting even in the early 1900s, where you have, on the one hand, the reformers who are interested in creating better living conditions for the Italian immigrants and for the immigrants in American cities in general, even though with a paternalistic sort of approach. But on the other hand, we also have nativists, as they were called, who push for assimilation by dispersion, which is to say, they believed that as long as the immigrant community stayed together, as long as immigrants clung onto their ethnic neighborhoods, they would have a harder time assimilating into Anglo-Saxon standards of living. So there is a push to disperse Little Italy into the suburbs, because if immigrants are scattered far apart from one another, they will more easily become like their fellow Americans or fellow German immigrants who have also assimilated to American society.
While assimilation allowed Italian culture to make its mark on America, much of the authenticity of Little Italy neighborhoods was lost. Morello talks more about that.
I came across this expression, which is somewhat popular among third-generation Italians, which is what the first generation wants to forget, the second generation wants to remember. And that is to say that very often, because there was a strong push for assimilation, the first-generation immigrants tried to shield their children from learning about Italian culture and from learning about their origins and their past and their culture. So when I go to Little Italy, I'm often reminded of a possible scenario, which is maybe a question to think about. It is, what would Little Italy look like today had there not been such a strong push to assimilation? What kind of cultural richness would there be?